This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store for an amazing selection of Star Wars action figures, collectibles, merchandise, and so much more. Head over to starwarsreport.com/toys, and that's going to take you straight over to the Big Bad Toy Store. We thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. There, come right in. Mind the snakes and the strange stew that Yoda made. But
snakes?
Hey, this is the Star Wars Report. They didn't say that. Isn't there an Indiana Jones reference? I'll see if I'd seen Indiana Jones,
snakes.
I would make the reference.
Snakes.
Isn't that Last Crusade or something? Where that's from. Hey guys, it's Riley Blanton, founder of the Star Wars Report and host of this here Star Wars Report podcast.
All around Star Wars
Good.
Fan, cool guy, cool brother, cool
interviewer.
You're
not allowed to steal the intro.
That's but I'm
purview,
telling people how good you
okay,
are.
Okay, fine. But, like, that's my job. I'm supposed to say what a great person I am.
But doesn't me saying it lend credence to the fact?
Probably.
But he really
probably.
He just gives me chocolate if I do that.
Probably. Nah, I don't know about that. Hooga Chaka. Hey, remember the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
Oh, yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, by the way, that's Bethany Blanton, my sister. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for welcoming me to the program. What do you think would happen if you ever didn't welcome me to the program?
You would talk anyway.
I would talk
let's
anyway.
Let's face it.
But like, things just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah. Well.
But I would totally talk anyway.
In the
I would totally
arms
talk.
Of
but first,
an angel.
But all right. First.
Let me take a selfie. Okay. Well,
okay.
I think that one got old at the last
old.
Episode.
It is.
But what, like, the amazing
it's that
part.
Old for me.
Best part of the whole trailer of Guardians of the Galaxy, and we'll talk about Star Wars
Head
in a second.
Headphones on right now.
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, they do.
A-holes.
So good.
Yeah. But you know what? That whole trailer, and I mean, I know I've said it before.
You haven't,
it
I don't think
feels
you've said it. You
like,
haven't said it on
but
air.
But I haven't said it on air.
Yeah.
It feels like Star Wars. It really
well,
does.
It does.
It feels like Star Wars with the main character of Han Solo, which I got to say,
like if,
that's awesome.
If Han's your lead. Well,
yep.
For me, when I saw it, the trailer, that's the best Marvel trailer I've seen. Not
why?
And here's why. That's funny you should ask.
Funny I should.
And it has to do with Star Wars, actually.
Nothing.
Because
I knew
nothing about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And in fact, was fairly convinced, good grief. Like,
they've got a raccoon
a
for
talking
crying out
freaking
loud.
Freaking raccoon, yeah. And then it's so unapologetic for what it is. It says, yes. I saw, like, shortly after the trailer came out, there's a great little side-by-side, I think you sent it to me, Bethany, where it was a picture of Jonathan Kent from for talking to the young Clark Kent in the Superman movie, Man of Steel.
Mm.
I blanked on the name for a second. It's saying, the world isn't ready for a Wonder Woman movie. And then it's just, like, right next to it, here's a freaking
talking
raccoon firing a submachine gun. Yeah, mm-hmm. Marvel, like,
yep.
Marvel knows it's they're flirting with us now. They're like, we're so good and we know it. I was like, take my money.
I'm so good. I don't even know what to do with myself. I don't even know. Do
that's
you
a that's
do
an old Cosby
it?
Show,
yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, exactly. It's the Bill Cosby. They've graduated from stand up Bill Cosby to Bill Cosby Show Bill Cosby. I don't know if that was probably a terrible reference. I don't know. Anyway, you guys heard me mention it the last episode. I want to mention it really quickly again. Hey, head over to StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes for our archives of all previous 125 episodes.
Speaking
of, the Star
of those
Report.
Episodes. Do you remember some of those old episodes, Riley?
I think we like blew 15 minutes reminiscing shamelessly on the last
we
episode.
We did.
Well, hey, shoot us emails if you're if you're not happy with it. Well, a stop listening.
No. See, that's not what you say. Okay.
Well,
Riley,
if you're not happy with it,
I'm going to be the primary host of this show for just a moment here.
Right.
You are totally happy with it. In fact, you love it and adore it, and you're going to leave it pulling up on your browser every time you click on Chrome or Firefox or whatever. Uh-huh. But you are going to email us your favorite Star Wars report memory of an episode past.
This is why I have you around, Bethany. Because I'm happy that long if you know. Okay, sorry.
Yep.
What's funny is that I just queued that on Spotify just for some part. It was a perfectly perfect spot in the song. All right. So the reason
happy.
I played. I hope Guardians of the Galaxy as good as it looks. That's what I want to see in an Episode 7 trailer. Something because it's going to be totally unfamiliar territory.
What is it about the feeling?
Something
of the
totally
of the
unfamiliar that seems like it knows its identity. It knows itself.
You do realize that that's slightly contradictory. Totally unfamiliar, but knows its identity.
Unfamiliar to the audience. But knows its own identity and is comfortable in its shoes.
But won't you say that the true Star Wars fan, the real Star Wars fan,
the legitimate, as opposed to all the other fake Star Wars
right.
fans,
wouldn't they recognize the feel of something that knew its identity?
Okay. Well, yes, but they shouldn't.
What is the identity of Star Wars, Riley?
What does it mean to be alive? All right. I don't know. I venture part of me there are elements thematically that I want to see that are familiar, but I don't want to see Jason and Anakin and like, oh, we're doing something that is totally predictable and we're playing the safe route. I don't want to see
I
want to be thrown off by the trailer in the same way I was with this.
You want the trailer to say, I'm so good, I don't even know what to do with myself.
That's kind of, I want the Bill Cosby attitude from episode 7.
Mm.
Like five people are getting that reference. we live in a depressing era. Hey, for this episode, we don't have any news, but we do have a lot of feedback that's piled up over the past few weeks that we're going to be talking to you guys about. A lot of really interesting talks, so let's talk about it.
Wait, but
learn what you have learned.
We've got some feedback from you guys.
Yeah.
It's why you fail.
You're saying, Bethany?
We need like a good name for this episode. Because it's a feedback episode, so we can't just name it anything. We'll come
feedback.
Back to that.
We'll get back with you that.
Backfeed.
First piece of feedback I want to do is from a commentary we did last summer with the illustrious, the one and only, the great, the infamous, the inimitable, the talented, the lovely, the boisterous, the friendly, the happy, Steve Lawson. How was that? That was pretty good, if I do say so myself. Revenge of the Sith feedback. This comes from Jason, no last name, but he sent it. He shot us. Wait. I want to make sure we have this. Oh, I don't have the emailer's name. I feel terrible. I feel sorry.
I'll look it up while you talk.
You know who we are. It's in our email archive somewhere. It's a Revenge of the Sith commentary feedback. Good commentary as always. I love to hear Steve on Star Wars. Appreciate the balanced approach to the prequels, but I have to say that Padme dying of a quote broken heart is disrespectful to the character, and it proves that she is weak beyond basic character flaws and was an extremely terrible idea by Lucas. It completely ruins the character for me, and yes, I mean completely. I can't watch any scene with her without thinking about what she becomes in the end. All of that setup of a strong female, and this is what we got. And we talked about this a couple episodes ago. I think that's why it came up. But he says, what kind of woman would abandon her newborn children because her no good evil husband let her down? What is this telling little girls? That if their man turns out to be a jerk, then they have nothing to live for? Not even their kids. I don't think I'll have the... All right, this was the thing. Like, here we go. If Padme was in any way a strong person, she would have lived on for the sake of her children. She's abandoned by Luke and Leia to a world that was crumbling into darkness and one that might destroy them because Annie broke her widow heart. By the way, spelled, yes, exactly like it is. And just because she couldn't live without him by her side. This moment started to get me more and more in the weeks that followed release and took a long time, years, for me to get back to the prequels after all the letdown. Oh, wow, this is pretty serious stuff. I'm going to jump down towards the end because I don't read the whole thing verbatim, but I do want to highlight, he says...
Oh, quick question, Riley.
Yeah.
When When did this email come in?
A couple weeks ago. Okay. It's been sitting in the docket for some time. You'd have to search ROTS. Okay. ROTS. I think the idea, which I believe one of the concept artists had in the art in the art book for Revenge of the Sith, that Padme tries to kill Anakin with a hidden dagger would have been much more powerful, as it shows that she loves him but realizes that he must be stopped, and it shows that she is strong enough to do it herself. If she would have died from Anakin quote unquote defending himself from her attack, that would have been a brilliant, powerful tragedy. Instead, we got utter weakness from her resolution. I'm just kind of pondering that for a second. Wow. Hmm. Good.
I'm trying to remember, because I know that we discussed it in that.
Yeah, we did.
Commentary, but it's been a while now.
Yeah, and you can find it at StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes under Revenge of the Sith commentary, episode 106.
You know, one thing
makes a good point. I'm just going to start right there and say that he makes a very solid point, thematically speaking. There are ways. Yeah. I don't take it as far as he does, but I don't know. What do you think, Bethany? You're a girl.
That totally legitimizes. The only reason you invited me on to record tonight, isn't it?
No. It is a reason. But no, seriously, from a female perspective, is it something that offends you, the way that Padme went out? Is Padme the Boba Fett of the prequels? Did you just go out like a punk, dying of a broken heart?
Oh, goodness. He does make a good point, and that was one thing. The Anakin, you're breaking my heart line was always one that I either laughed at or was annoyed with. It never resonated with me. Honestly speaking, I think anybody who truly loved a partner and saw their partner, quote, go down that path, then they would be completely devastated if something like that happened. But if you are with child, if you have children and you're responsible for them, whether you're female or male, I think that it is the right thing to do to not just think about yourself and how upset you are and how sad you are, but to think about the others in the equation, these younglings who cannot take care of themselves. And so that's a very good point. But the character of Padme is overall a strong character, I feel, in The Phantom Menace and in Attack of the Clones. I do think some of her portrayal is cheesy in places, and I think some of it, honestly, does mess up her character. But overall, the essence of her character as portrayed, you know, she was a queen. She ruled a country while she was still a teenager. She married a Jedi. She could fight for herself. She fought for others. So overall, I think her character was a well-rounded character who was a strong character in the true sense. But I feel like that scene did take away from her character.
Yeah.
Because to me, Anakin changed her. To me, she was one of the many, many things and many people that Anakin destroyed.
Well, and I'm like
and
one of the
she,
biggest.
She allowed herself to.
By the way,
get
this is a
point,
this is not an email. This actually came in on a comment on StarWarsReport.com on the post, and it's from Darth.
Okay.
Darth Clem. So I found it.
Okay. Good. She allowed herself to choose that, because Obi-Wan was probably about as upset as she was. I mean, Anakin, he in some ways raised Anakin from the time that Anakin was still a boy. He looked after Anakin, and Anakin was almost like Qui-Gon's legacy to him, you know, train the boy. And Anakin was his brother, but Obi-Wan did the right thing, and Obi-Wan carried on. Padme did not.
Yeah. I mean, it's good points all around. In fact, what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to refresh
it,
because
I don't think that if you choke someone while they're pregnant, they very well suffer physical harm. And I realize that the medical droid, the UBA droids, and the medical droid, they were like, you know, we can't explain it, blah blah blah. And I'm like, seriously. Seriously, she got force choked to the point that she was unconscious
thing,
and fell to a really hard surface while very, very pregnant.
Well, let
and
me
had a very
like
difficult, you know, birthing process. And you're telling me that this isn't explainable?
Yeah. She's under a lot of stress. No, okay. I'm going to first, before I play devil's advocate, say that I actually, two things. I agree with Darth Klim completely. However, not to the same extent. I don't think it does as much damage. I don't think it ruins the whole prequels, but thematically it was poorly done. And Padme's never been a favorite character of mine. To be honest, I mean, if we're going to talk about it, like, in fact, as I cued the scene because I was trying to remember it well. So let's listen for a second, just a second. So, well, actually, before I jump to the scene, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Very quickly, I think Lucas was coming. Okay,
I mean, she should have at least taken a selfie.
Padme. Padme is not one of my favorite characters, and I think a lot of your perspective on the moment in Revenge of the Sith is very accurate. It was poorly done, the characterization. But on the devil's advocate side of things, I don't think it was meant to be bad. That sounds terrible to say. I think what it was meant was to paint a darker picture of Anakin, saying that look how evil he is for destroying her hope, you know, that Anakin, you know, Anakin breaks her heart and breaks her will to live, and how terrible is that?
Although, honestly, Riley, if I were embittered, I would say, well, yeah, they're just focusing on the male character because the male character is more important.
Well, and frankly, that could be a legitimate criticism.
Saw your ship.
All right, listen to this. So they hug.
What are you doing out here?
I was so worried about you. Obi-Wan told me terrible things.
So I think what they're, I don't know, it's one of those things, I'm not going to play the whole conversation, but yeah, the characterization is very weak in episode 3, especially at the end. And
to me, the Star Wars films are in a lot of ways, I'm totally breaking in.
Don't go breaking my heart.
I'm totally breaking in on your
fat trod.
The Star Wars films to me are a story of a real character. So for instance, if in real life, I was reading about a real life person like Abraham Lincoln, I could read a characterization of him. And to me, that would be that characterization. You know, it might tell about his childhood and how when he was a child, there were some silly childish thing that he did. That wouldn't tell me that Abraham Lincoln was overall a childish, silly person. And I'm just making up a kind of a ridiculous.
She's not defined by her last moments.
She's not defined by the portrayal of her last moments of the movie, which
sure
is telling the history of what actually happened in Star Wars.
But
that is how I view the Star Wars films, and that's why Luke is one of my favorite characters, because when I watched the original trilogy, and it was before I read any of the books, and I'm totally going on a tangent here, and you're not going to get another word in for like 5 minutes.
I had a great comment that was relevant like 3 seconds ago.
Okay, what's the comment?
But she certainly is damaged by them.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So she's not defined by them, but she's damaged by them.
So okay,
continue.
So Luke. Luke is a little bit of a whiny, immature kid in A New Hope, at least at the beginning. And to me, that does not define his character. Luke is the character that I've read about, the character that I've talked about, like in just discussions with you, me, and Mark, you know, talking about what would happen in Star Wars if this and this and this had happened to Luke. That's because we're talking about a character who resides outside of just a story or a movie in our mind. The movies are telling the, you know, quote, real life, quote, tales of characters in this fictional universe. And I view the movies that way, as like historical documentation. And like all historical documentation, they're not going to be completely accurate. Some of it is going to be quite hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of it is going to definitely edge into the drama. I mean, if you watch 300, do you think that completely accurately portrays the Spartan characters?
Yeah, they traveled back in time to film it. I don't know what
exactly. Do you think if you watch the Spartacus series that completely accurately totally portrays the character of Spartacus? No, it's a representation of him, and it builds the character in your mind, but it doesn't totally define the character. And that's because Star Wars is a universe. It's not just a set of movies. It's not just one series of books. It is an expanded universe. And by that, I mean both books, movies, TV shows, everything.
Well,
I would almost argue that the character of Padme in the Clone Wars damaged her character more than in Revenge of the Sith because of some of the, to me, very stilted character sequences with her.
Well, I mean,
long, and the naive
long
sequences.
Short of it, I mean, the most important takeaway is
Anakin, you're breaking my heart.
Yep. Sorry, Padme. It's a tough life. And she lost a little bit. Very sad. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go too far in that. I thought it was a legitimate tragedy for me in many ways with missteps as far as the characterization of Padme. I don't know. Email us, starsreport@gmail.com. What do you think?
And to me, it's even the same thing. This is Bethany, not, you know, I have a bone and I'm not going to let this bone go. To me, even the character of Anakin is portrayed that way, where there are some very stilted character moments, stilted dialogue, even some stilted acting where, you know, I don't like sand.
Oops.
To me, that doesn't ruin the character and show that he's, you know, has a
wheel.
But it does negatively impact the portrayal of his character in the movie.
Fair enough. And you know what would be good? If Riley was signed into the correct Google account so that he could get back to his feedback.
Yeah, that would be good. I do have the feedback up.
By the way,
but
that's the first time
I have
digital copies of all the Star Wars films, you know, from the DVDs ripped on my computer.
Uh-huh.
And man, I should reference them more.
Yeah, you should. I like that. It makes a good point.
All right, here we go.
Was it in Rebel Force Radio and back when it was the Force Cast? I know that. I believe it's Jason and Jimmy, but I particularly remember Jimmy, I believe, talking about how the character of Anakin is really fleshed out in the Clone Wars. He really does become the character that Star Wars fans expect. You know, he becomes the tragic hero. You know, he doesn't go from being a somewhat whiny teenager to I'm choking my wife now. You know, you get to see that in between stage.
Sadly, not so much with Padme in the Clone Wars, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. But, you know, good stuff. Yeah, again, email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com is the best way to get in contact with us. Or if you, like, have long thoughts, although keep as far as voicemail, keep it short, but 858-859-0SWR is our voice feedback hotline. Here we want to go jump to the next piece of feedback. It's from the venerable Jason Hunt. Said, I had a few thoughts about your latest episode and the intense discussion y'all had about Mortis and their interpretation on the Chosen One prophecy. First, I'd like to think the word interpretation is key.
Interpretation in all caps.
I don't think the way the father, son, and daughter see the prophecy is the definitive interpretation of that prophecy, talking about the Chosen One, the prophecy of the Chosen One. I was always left with the feeling that Mortis was just a way that the father could have quote, misread the prophecy.
A prophecy misread could have been, yes, yes.
My Yoda's not so good anymore.
You need to go, yes.
I need to warm up what Jimmy Mac, as he calls the Yoda.
Yes. A prophecy misread could have been, yes.
I can't even try. I just don't even know how. I was always left with a feeling.
Yeah, no. And the Force mm-hmm. is constantly moving, and there's never just one path, so we should probably treat the prophecy in the same way. While Anakin staying on Mortis could have been a way to fulfill the prophecy, I don't think it's by any means the way. Stop sounding like Obi-Wan, Jason. No, we were talking about it at the time. We kind of touched on the Mortis trilogy and how neither Mark or I really like the characterization of the Force, the idea that it has to be a balance between good and evil and that both must exist. And that I don't really think that that's not how the way I view Star Wars. Like I view the balance of the Force as when, you know, Darth Vader's defeated and the good guys win at the end of Rejoined of the Jedi. That's what I'm Rejoined of the Jedi. But seriously, like I view balance of the Force as when good is restored and evil is eradicated, not from a combination of the two, not the yin yang symbol that was less than subtly portrayed in the Mortis trilogy. Good thoughts, Jason. Though I think that if you look at it that way, it's a little easier to swallow some of the philosophy behind some of the Mortis. I really like the Mortis episodes, and it was a really fascinating study of the Force, second only to the Yoda arc from season 6. Holy cow, the Yoda arc from season 6. Man. Anyway, but yeah, good points. I want to jump to another feedback for this is for episode 122. Good Lord. Oh, so from Michael Sorrento. And I won't have time to read the whole feedback, but before I jump to that feedback, I want to touch on our sponsor for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, and it's Big Bad Toy Store. We thank them for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report. Hey, if you guys are interested in a fantastic selection of all kinds of Star Wars merchandise, Star Wars collectibles, Star Wars action figures, Hasbro, you name it, Gentle Giant, Lego, they've got it. It's at Big Bad Toy Store. And the way you want to let them know that you thank them for sponsoring this particular podcast episode is going over to starwarsreport.com/toys. And that's our link. That'll take you straight to Big Bad Toy Store. All kinds of inventory are always on sale, anything from 20 to 50% off, sometimes more. Again, that's starwarsreport.com/toys. We thank Big Bad Toy Store for sponsoring this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Email from Michael Sorrento. Hey, episode 122, you're talking about the marketing surrounding Star Wars Rebels and Disney. Yeah, this is when Teresa was on the episode. My understanding is that Disney, prior to buying Marvel and Lucasfilm, saw things as such. Disney princesses merchandise equals girls. Disney princess merchandise is greater than any merchandise that Disney is targeted to boys. So now they need something new. Now they own Marvel and Lucasfilm, and the equation is Disney princess merchandise equals Marvel merchandise plus Star Wars and Indiana Jones merchandise, and therefore, in Disney's mind, they now have a one-to-one ratio of merchandise that appeals to girls and boys. He goes on to say, before Disney purchased Marvel and Lucasfilm, their princess line was making much more revenue from merchandise than all of their merchandise that targeted the boys' market. So basically what he's saying is, while the Rebels marketing is terribly lackluster, especially with that press release, it's like, Disney merchandise set to capture boy, Star Wars Rebels, let me try that again. Take two for impersonation of 1940s newsman. Take two. Star Wars Rebels set to catch after boys' imaginations. Mm. That infamous press release. Anyway, the poor marketing decisions are derived purely from simple stupidity. What Disney's failing to realize is that entertainment appeals to everyone, and they are artificially segmenting the market.
Hear, hear. Bethany is showing her opinion already. Yeah. Go ahead.
Their solution is basically, which in fact solves nothing, is to write little to no female characters. However, male writers are not the only ones terrified of writing characters that are of the opposite gender. While less significant, there are female writers who only write a few male characters. And I think that we can sum up everything up as male writers don't understand how the female mind works, and the female writers don't understand how the male mind works. And they're basically, essentially, in summary, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, segmenting the market. And artificially saying, well, here in this column, we have the boys' market. And here in this column, in this chart, we have the girls' market.
And these characters
and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
Set to capture boys' imaginations.
If I may add to that, I don't think that... I do know some people who have talked about being nervous about writing for the opposite gender or just writing for someone who has a completely different background, like writing the character of a slave or the character of a completely evil but complex villain, because you have to get how the mind of a villain works. And if you're not a villain, that might be kind of hard. But I think that's why... This is where I think diversity comes in. That as a company, as an office, as a leader, as someone who is looking to put out good product, good service of any kind, you need to have people of both genders working for you and people of differing backgrounds so that this kind of thing doesn't happen.
Excellent point. I couldn't agree more, and it is unfortunate at the Star Wars Rebels marketing. I haven't changed my mind really about anything we said. That was a pretty controversial episode. We got some great feedback, and that was one of the better ones. I wanted to definitely feature that email, even if it wasn't in its full.
It's just making that point, it bothers me that Marvel has had movies, has had characters, has had amazing progress with... I mean, they put a freaking gun-wielding raccoon in their trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy. Exactly. And even the character of Black Widow in the Avengers, we talked about it before. And I believe that was like an after-show commentary or something that we did.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, no, that's on the episode.
You know,
the post-show we did. Star-vengers.
You have Disney, Marvel, you people, you have...
Episode 45 of the Star Wars Report over at starwarsreport.com/SWR episodes. Star-vengers, episode 45.
Okay, yes.
Sorry.
You know, I don't typically go the you people route because that's putting a bit too
Who
much separation.
Who are these people?
And it's laying a little bit too much blame, but it really isn't that hard to make sure that your product is diverse. If you can't figure out how to do it because you don't have the life experience to, you hire people who do. You hire a woman. You hire someone who is of a different race than you.
I mean, if you're having trouble with gender perspective.
You hire someone who's from a different country than you.
Or you hire Joss Whedon.
Yes.
That's the last thing you do. Oh, goodness. Good night. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this here episode 126, I believe, actually. Yeah, 126. Look at that. Look at us rolling along through the episodes. Thanks for tuning in, whether it's morning, afternoon, or evening. Please delete as appropriate, as always. A couple ways you want to stay in touch. First of all, if you enjoyed this here show, if you like content from us, two things you want to do. Two most important things. You forget everything else I said in this episode. Two important things that you, right now, listening to this particular episode of the Star Wars Report, need to remember. That's iTunes. We really appreciate iTunes reviews. Head over to starwarsreport.com/iTunes. Takes you straight there to the page. Leave us reviews. Subscribe to the show. That's a really great way to, one, make sure you don't miss a single episode, and two, make sure other folks are hearing about this here podcast. And we really appreciate all the listeners who've been giving us the reviews. We've actually, in the past couple weeks, gotten some new ones. We really appreciate you. You know, I should give shout-outs maybe on a future episode. Shout-outs to you guys who've been kind enough to leave us iTunes reviews. Number two, mailing list. We post to social media. We have updates on the site, but you forget to check those. It gets lost in the shuffle of a billion tweets from Bonnie Burton. You know, you get lost in the Chris Hardwicks of the world and the tons of social media. It's hard to stay up with. If you want to make sure that you're receiving Star Wars Report updates, episodes, blog posts, content that we are doing, I promise I can talk, that we're doing right in your inbox, starwarsreport.com/mailing list. Subscribe, just punch in your email and name. I usually send an update. You know, sometimes it's a month or two without an update. Sometimes I'll send a weekly one. It kind of varies, but it's whenever we have good stuff. And also, we also, for you guys who sign up, we're putting up bonus content right and left, right to the mailing list. So that's what you want to do. Two things, iTunes and mailing list. We really appreciate you for listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, if you want to stay in touch with us, it's emails, the preferred method, starwarsreport@gmail.com is how you want to email us. Facebook/Star Wars Report, Twitter/Star Wars Report, and voicemail hotline 858-859-0SWR. I'm on Twitter, it's @TheRileyGuy. Bethany's on Twitter @BethanyLBlanton. Follow us for our personal tweets, and also I'm usually posting blog posts just about every other week or so on my personal website, RileyBlanton.com, if you're interested in that sort of thing. That does it for this particular episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. There's one thing I ask of you. Remember, many Bothans died. Or actually, you know what? Don't let me do it.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Let the original do it. Thanks for tuning to this episode. We will catch you next week. May the Force be with you.